Today's date is June 8th. It's the Sabbath, 2024. It's the Sabbath day. And we're in the book of Acts. It's the study hour. If you have your Bibles handy, please open to Acts chapter 15, verse 30. Okay. And before reading it, it's just they're closing the, you know, the chapter's closing out, so we're hopefully going to be done this week in chapter 15. If not, that's okay too. However the Spirit leads, because we learn with every verse. After the letter was sent in regards to everything from abstaining from meats and circumcision and fornication and all that, it goes on from there and it says, so when they were dismissed, this is verse 30. Thank you again, Brother Anthony. So when they were dismissed, they came to Antioch. And when they had gathered the multitude together, they delivered the epistle, which when they read, I'm sorry, verse 31, which when they had read, they rejoiced for the consolation. Now, I've got something in here from James White. But before even reading that, if we were to read all the way down to verse 35, this, you know, Judas and Silas, and Judas is the, Judas Barsabbas, it's not Iscariot. So Judas Barsabbas and Silas are about to share with the Gentiles all the truth discussed in the previous meeting regarding, you know, the circumcision, and then they even added the health message. You know, the abstaining from meats and stuff, certain meats. And so, but let me put this in the room. This is from Advent Review, Sabbath Herald. And it's page 76. No. It's March 28, 1854. James White, editor, Advent Review and Sabbath Herald. And it says 76, paragraph 21, I guess. A lot of paragraphs on one page. Must be a big piece of paper. Oh, good, it all fit. All right. It says this. If such a course should now be pursued under similar circumstances, we should hear those who go for no order exclaiming, don't abridge our rights. Let us enjoy gospel liberty. That's 11. That's Isaiah 4:1. You know, let us read the Bible the way we want to read it. Let us walk the way we want to walk, but just keep calling us Christians to take away our shame. That's the same demon that was running through the minds and hearts of Korah and his friends back in Moses' day. And we all know how that ended. They became the ultimate definition of worldliness. When the world opened up, they fell in the hole, and the world just closed on them. And from what I understand, it may have done it more than once, like chewing on them, but I don't think that's what the Lord meant by doing that. It was just an earthquake, obviously, and they fell in the hole, and it closed on them, killed them all. And then, of course, the rest of his friends, their tents and everything they owned and themselves burned up. End up. Anyway, okay, why I'm getting... okay, all right, so he goes on to say here, to such we would... And by the way, you know, getting back to this gospel liberty thing, the main response that I've seen over the years from loved ones and complete strangers, oh, we just don't believe the Bible the way you do. And I praise God for the... when the internet first started, I was jumping all over bulletin boards, and they're still out there, too, you know, like Usenet. Now they call them news groups, but back when they started out, they were called bulletin boards. And one of the things that the Lord taught me at that time was not only to use Bible verses to explain everything I'm saying, but underline every you know, underline in the Bible verse, you know, what it actually means, right? You know, be a prophetic symbol or some doctrine. And the reason being is because when I first got on the bulletin boards, you know where I was going to go. First place I went to was the Catholic discussion board, right? And so I went into the Catholic discussion boards and started, you know, showing. I would present one of their doctrines, then I would show what the Bible says about it, and then wait. And then, of course, it was just a bloodbath of hate. It was all that they just hate. But But every now and then there'd be someone in there doing the same thing I'm doing, and then we would join forces and then go forth and do what we could to try to share with them. But what I found was the favorite comeback is similar to let us enjoy gospel liberty. The favorite comeback was, we just don't believe it the way you're saying, because you're giving us your opinion. They were actually being moved by Satan to say that, because the Vatican is overwhelmingly exposed as the one giving its opinion on Scripture. But 2 Peter 1:20 is pretty clear. No prophecy of the Scriptures of any private interpretation. We can't give our opinion. The same goes for doctrine, too. Isaiah 8:20, you know, to the law and the testimony, they speak not according to this word. It's because there's no light in them. And so I learned that lesson early on, that they kept coming back saying, it's my opinion, it's my opinion, it's my opinion. So that's when I started putting in the Bible verses and underlining the proof that this isn't my opinion, this is what was written. And boy, did that get their blood up, because they couldn't rebuke it. That's the norm. That's where the hate comes in. And it's not because they personally hate me. It's because the demon prodding them, be it in them or on them, hates the truth. And so this is what's going to be the norm, especially in the coming days. We're going to have to deal with some people to, you know, when it comes to trying to share this truth, you know, during the loud cry and that. Even now, because many of us, myself included, have already gone out and we're doing all this amazing work, and the Lord's blessing it, and people are being blessed. We just want to show them, you know, kind of like the farmer, those two farmers that were told by a prophet that it's going to rain, and so they both go home, and one of them starts tilling his field, and the other one sat in his house waiting on the rain. No, that's what the SDAs do. They're actually telling people, when the Sunday laws are started, then go forth and declare. No. Then you prove beyond a shadow of a doubt that the Lord can't use you, because you're not even trying to do any of the work. Get out there and till the field now, so that by the time the Sunday laws come, you'll have all sorts of experience and everything that you need to go forth and glorify Christ. Because especially today, there is so much fear and anxiety. And it's like the prophecy said, the hearts of men are failing them for fear of those things that are coming on the world. That's happening right now. And it's not just the wars and the rumors of wars. It's all these diseases, be they fake or real. And there's a lot of these diseases that are real. I did a thing on People Get Ready. They used to keep track of all the diseases and the like the different changes in the diseases and different kind of means by which the disease will attack and all that. And there's all these different permutations of a single virus, let's say, or even some kind of a infection. And they would keep track of all this in these long, you know, paper. But when computers were invented, they just gave up. He says, we got to put this in computers. It's just way too many diseases are happening and are being new diseases. Because the prophecy said that the diseases were going to be part of reality in these last days. And that scares people too. But that's one of the beauties of being a Christian. Jesus literally said, be not afraid. Regardless of what happens, be not afraid. Even if they came to kill you, be not afraid. Because they can, let's say they kill you. He says, don't fear those who can kill the body. Fear rather he that can kill the body and the soul in hellfire. In other words, don't fear them, fear my Father. But fear the Father in a reverent manner, or in other words, love him. And then you'll have peace like you've never seen before. We were talking about that earlier, how like you could walk up to an atheist and literally tell them, I met Jesus. Even though you haven't physically seen him with your eyeballs, you hear him speak, be it a thought voice or even the still small voice, or even through his word, or even through creation. Go out in the woods, you'll see him everywhere, because he's creator. He made everything. But an atheist can't see that, because he's a natural man. There's just no way. Am I cutting in and out for everybody, or just Sister Marie? Because she just says I'm cutting in and out. Test. Yeah, they'll say, yeah, amen, Brother Arthur. Yeah, they'll say, prove it. All right, let me do it, because I'm using a different, well, I'm always using this particular internet for, let me just do the upload. I don't care about the download, I only need the up, so let me just test my upload real quick. No, it's good. It's going to be good as soon as it gets done here, but it's flying fast, and it's, well, the 1.5 Mag 1 ain't flying fast, but it never is. Let's just see how it ends. Should be over 10. 12, oh, whoa, 1.2? That's not good. So that's on me. If I reboot that router, it's going to take 90 seconds for me to come back, which means the stream will go down. So it's definitely choppy. It's got to be with that kind of speed. Oh, man, I don't want to do this. This is, I don't want to reboot, but because I programmed that router to reboot itself every night at 4 a.m. because of such a situation. It's a 4G LTE kind of a thing. But it looked like it was going to be fast in the start because it starts off really fast and then it goes slow. Let's see if it cleaned itself up here. Because I can jump over to the other one and just piggyback, you know, the one that's using, no, that's going to, oh, it's under a meg now. So, yeah, I gotta get off that router. So I'll probably lose the stream, but I'll come right back. Yeah, I know, but I have to switch now. I've got proof. So I can't take this. It might be good for some people, but for the majority, it's going to be bad. So let me just hit this button, and Turbo will just figure it all out. I like Turbo. It's a server in-house, and so it'll just figure it out, and I'll be back in a moment. But Twitch is going to go down. Okay, so all right, I'll be right. Let me just push this. Let me get this off the screen first, though, to stop the piggybacking or bottlenecking. And I'll be right back. Okay, those of you listening on WTPR later, you can hear this, but no one else can. Because I'm waiting for it to reconnect. Okay, let's see. It should reconnect any moment now. There I go. I'm back. Okay. Now, I'm back. Okay, but Twitch is going to be down, so I have to close. Nope, I can't even close out Twitch, so give me a moment. I have to go into Task Manager to kill Twitch the hard way. Go on the back door here, I guess they can call it. Where is it? XSplit. End task. It's taking them. Oh, okay, there it goes. Okay, it fell out. All right, so now let me turn it back on. And the problem with XSplit, it's a hair grower. It takes a minute. So, okay. Load the current presentation. Yep, load. Yeah, because it knew it crashed. That's a good sign to see. So let's see. Now let's try to broadcast. And everybody should come back in. Boy, we got... It could be, too, that we're kind of like... too many people in here. Because I just looked, there's just too many. Looks like going live. Okay. Now it says I'm live streaming. Can I turn off the mic? Yep. Okay. So everything's back to normal. All right. Okay. How about now, Sister Marie? I should be a lot better now because this internet should be, this is the one I'm paying for. The other one is just, well, it's $5 a month, but that's just for an extra phone line. And I only use that so I don't bottleneck for the church. Let's just see what it says here. It's doing the same thing. It doesn't make sense. I wonder if they're bottlenecking me on purpose. Well, we are using way too much. Yeah, it's half a meg. Let me see. Let me figure this out real quick. Because I know I shut down John 14:29, so it can't be that. Because years ago, I still do it. I still shut off John 14:29 on Sabbath because of years ago. People would just hit it during church to knock people out. It's showing I'm throwing 17 meg up, but I'm only able to see 467 kilobits. Is it choppy? It's good? Okay. All right. Well, then that's all I got left is 467. Okay. It'll figure it. Okay. So let's just continue. Thank you for your patience, everyone. It's just, internet's not a perfect science, obviously. So I am pushing 17. Over 17. So we're good. Because I can get 30 on this one. So, all right. All right. Let's see. Where did I leave off here? All right. So we just, I went over a little bit in regards to the people with the Isaiah 4:1 saying, don't abridge our rights. Let us enjoy gospel liberty, you know, because James White was seeing it in his day, which is going to be the norm for our day and every other day, because Isaiah saw it in his, right? So going on, James White says, to such we would say that the teachings and example of the apostles do not abridge the lawful rights and liberty of any Christian, but they do rebuke him who would use his liberty for a cloak of maliciousness. And he actually quotes 1 Peter 2:16. Let me go to it real quick. Is that for, yeah, 1 Peter 2:16. See if I can beat Brother Anthony. Verse 16. Okay, I'm there. All right, and it says, as free and... Oh, yeah. Let me go to verse 15, actually. If, I'm going to put it in the room, verse 15 and 16. Copy verses. Okay, I'll put it in the room. This is 1 Peter 2:15 and 16. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men, as free and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as servants of God. And like, take for example the 501c3. That's a corrupt liberty that the disobedient pastors have been moved by Satan to embrace. They are servants of filthy lucre instead of servants of God. And like that video I made about Doug Batchelor, wherein he answered the email, and I asked him, why do you have multiple, why do you even have one 501c3? When Jesus promised to pay the taxes for us, to help us pay the taxes like he did when he told Peter to go fishing. Well, he came back with all this twisted theology to okay the fact that he doesn't have to be under a burden, which means Jesus isn't there for him because Jesus says, you won't be under a burden. And so he's using his liberty as a Christian to say it's okay because Christ is okay with this because I need this extra money to be to go out and do this, that, or whatever. And if you notice, everybody that gets a 501c3 or a 501c4, like Andrew Henriquez and some of those guys, they seem to get blessed financially by the God of this world. Because the God of the Bible is not going to bless them when they're disobedient, when they're joining their church or ministry with the state. Jesus said, don't do that. And Doug Batchelor specifically left out verse 27 of that one verse where he literally tells Peter that he'll pay the taxes for him. That part he left out because he knew if he left it in, I'd have more fodder for my cannon. Even though I already had the fodder, I knew what he was doing was wrong. I never responded back. I just used that in a video to show this is how he, and this is a leader in the Seventh-day Adventist movement, or church. It's not a movement anymore. It's actually failing. People are leaving in droves ever since 1980. So. Oh, yeah, I would think, Brother Arthur, I would agree to, because look what he did with the vaccine. He was telling people, well, you know, since it's a good thing, I believe it's okay to get the vaccine. He says it on camera, right? And he, and then they hit him up and say, well, there's pork in it. And they admitted there's pork in it. But he doesn't mention the aborted babies or the luciferase, which is mixing serpent DNA with human DNA. You know, the mRNA kind of thing that they did, just like the prophecy said, you know, conglomeration or whatever. But he didn't mention the aborted babies, but his excuse with the pork was, well, you know, they boil it down and process it so much, its base elements aren't even there anymore. That's not the point, Doug. It's an unclean animal. You shouldn't use any part of it. And you're injecting this into the veins and telling people it's okay to do the same. And again, so yeah, I can see when there's an amalgamation. Thanks, Brother Gordon. It's like conglomeration, but that's usually with earth, like stones and rocks and stuff like that, conglomerated together. But amalgamation is mixing two different species together. And that's what they did. And some of the strange things that happened, I don't know if everybody saw those videos of people all of a sudden, they were standing like, I saw this one guy standing in line to get food in a fast food joint, and all of a sudden he starts looking up, and his eyes get really wide, and he starts bending his head back as far as he can to look up, and he starts to spin around, and then he drops dead. And a lot of people did that. They had more than a few of videos where it happened to people, and that's all because of that vaccine. But the SDA Church declared it's perfectly okay. See, that was a test on all the people of the world, just like they're going to be testing us in the coming days when it comes to the mark. They had to see, Satan, actually, that's his demographic research. He had to see, will they believe a lie? That's easily proven to be a lie. Especially when it comes to Bible prophecy in regards to defiling. That's why you got the aborted babies and the pork. The luciferase, you know, the blood or the DNA of a serpent, that was just demonically in there for Satan's glory. But the thing, you know, for himself, what he would think would be glorifying him. But the pork is for the real Christians who know about the health message and Deuteronomy 14 and Leviticus 11 about unclean foods. And the aborted babies were supposed to be for all Christians. And the pork would also be something that even a Jew wouldn't want in their body, or a Muslim, you know, because they, you know, prefer not to be defiled, right? And so that was to test them too. But yet they all took it, showing that they'll literally defile their bodies so as to keep their jobs. Just like Brother Arthur is saying, when there's a food shortage, he's going to say it's okay to eat meat, especially now with the meat they're making now, manufactured meat. And look at that. Yeah, Sister Danny said that the Seventh-day Adventist Church refused to give religious exemption for people who did not want to get the vaccine. But then again, we all know about the white coat scandal. And so, and how they use their own people as scientific experiments during World War II, and they all died. So, going on, the spirit of in the quote that was rolled up already, it's way up there in the text chat now. So I'll put it back in real quick here. Hold on, I'll put this quote from Brother James White. Okay. So, second paragraph, the spirit of the humble and pure will be in harmony with these words of Paul. Let love be without dissimulation, which means to conceal. Don't conceal it. That's why I put in there equals to conceal. And then he says, abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good, be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love in honor, preferring one another. And that's just the character of Jesus Christ right there. He is just so loving. And I mean, for him to be tortured the way he was so that we wouldn't be killed in damnation and hellfire. You know, some of the people who are going to be martyred, yeah. But those are the people that can handle that. He, you know, 1 Corinthians 10:13 promise. If he can use you to glorify himself and bring even more people onto Christ by your death, well then, yeah, stand in line and, you know, and die for him. But because many did during the Inquisition, especially because a lot of people, that's why they started killing people in dungeons in the Catholic Church rather than out there in the middle of a village, because they found whenever they would burn somebody at the stake in front of all these people, all of a sudden there was a lot more Christians leaving the Catholic Church. And they said, oh, it's because we're scaring them with the burnings. No, they were leaving because they realized they wanted to know the Jesus that person who was on fire singing while on fire, like Huss, John Huss did, they want to know that Jesus because there's people out there looking for him. You know, you can't read hearts. We're mankind. We can't read hearts, but our Lord does. And so they brought the torturers into the dungeons because they're masochists. They get into it. They're Satanists. They love to cause pain and suffering. But if you can't handle it, you're not going to have to deal with it. You might die in your sleep or something, you know. He might, like if he can't get through the plagues, if you're not going to be part of the 144. So he finishes this one paragraph by saying, you know, quoting Ephesians 5:21, submit yourselves one to another in the fear of God. In other words, do what's right for each other because you're Christians. We're all Christians. We're all in this together. We're all going to be there for each other. And then going on, it says, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than himself, than themselves. And that's wise counsel from obvious from the book of Philippians. But we, all of us have to, especially when it comes to one accord, and this is why the enemy of souls will bring people in, into our number, and the people that are coming in, 9 times out of 10, don't even realize they're doing it. But because we can't read hearts, they may have a foot in Satan's playground, or a toe, anything that Satan knows he'll eventually use and try to draw people out of this church family by using those people that were in this family for years, let's say, and everybody fell in love with them, and they were brothers and sisters in the faith, and kissy, kissy, hug, hug every time we had a camp meeting, which, by the way, is soon. Don't forget to sign up for the RS, you know, do the RSVP thing on the website. And so, yeah, they would... all of a sudden, something would change in them, which means now Satan is going to use the toehold that he had on them all along. And it was a sin they'd always refused to give up, be it big or little, didn't matter. We didn't know about it because they did it behind closed doors. And we're an online church for the most part. 99% of what we do is online. And so it's not like we can stop by and say, hey, what's up? You know, to their houses when they're every nation on earth now. It's just, you can't do that. And so they can hide things from the brethren. And then all of a sudden, Satan goes, okay, now it's time. Things are getting way too serious in this church. He pulls on the foothold that he has, and this person starts doing everything from fanaticism to just downright wickedness, like fornication or whatever the case may be. And then it soils the church, while at the same time kind of slows the work a little bit, which we learned our lesson on that, and we won't let it happen again, where we do everything we can to reach these people. The last one, as everybody knows, took 18 months. That shouldn't take that long. Ever again. You know, by the mouth of 2 or 3 witnesses, let everything be assured. We don't have to keep going back and forth. Titus 3:10 is a clear rebuke on us for what we did. But the love we have for them, we tried everything we could to stop them from falling into sin. And it slowed the work down to a crawl. But... now that the deed is done, the work has exploded, praise his name. But it always happens like that, too. And then he goes on to say, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. I think I already read all that. Yeah, okay, yeah, I just did. So let me go to the next paragraph. And the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets, for God is not the author of confusion. Babylon is. In fact, the word Babylon means to mix. And we all know what that means, mix truth with error. That's how it works. They'll even go like the SDAs do, like the SDA leaders. They'll sometimes give 99% truth and just 1% error to keep the people in the pews and to keep Satan's foothold on them. See, the SDAs don't even realize this. Satan has a foothold on them. They're staying in a church that Sister White and Scripture both said, you got to get out the first time you see apostasy. Otherwise, you're serving men instead of God. You're worshiping men instead of God. You're worshiping the creature instead of the Creator who is blessed forever. Amen? And so when you stay in a church that you know for a fact is in apostasy, and I know every SDA does, because every SDA I've ever talked to over the last 30 years, yeah, because I started keeping Sabbath 30 years ago, 30 and a half, but every SDI I've ever asked, do you believe your church is in apostasy? 100% of them, including the pastors I talked to, said, yes, it is. And you know what my next question was. Well, then why are you still there? Amen. Amen, brother Alvin. Unsafe to delay obedience. You can't procrastinate with Christ. He's watching you. He knows you. And I'm talking to the SDAs, by the way. He's watching you. He knows you know the truth here. He knows you know it's an apostasy because he reads your heart. And he knows you're dragging your feet to leave the church for whatever reason, be it business connections or some cute girl sitting in the pew next to you. He knows you're not obeying Christ. You're putting someone else ahead of him. Yeah, why do they stay? Good point. And there's always a sinful reason as to why they're staying. But of peace And then again, let me backtrack. And the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets, for God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. As in all churches, of the saints. And saints don't have to die to be a saint. That's why I made that video. The Catholic Church declares the only way to be a saint is you got to die. And then someone in the Catholic Church declares that you did a miracle for them. But the Bible is replete with all sorts of statements, Old and New Testament alike, that declare, yeah, saints are Christians that are alive. So going on, it says, our meetings at Mill Grove, the 17th, 18th, and 19th, were very interesting, and we trust profitable. A good interest is awakened among the youth and children. The meetings were solemn, melting, and refreshing. Melting? Solemn, melting, and refreshing. Must have been a term back then. So melting the hearts, obviously. So the brethren in that place have not been affected by the distracting influences as in some other places. They realize the importance of gospel order. And see, that was the main key for everyone that has come against the Seventh-day Remnant leaders or just the movement itself and the people in this church family, is because they wanted to step outside of gospel order. You have to do it our way or the highway. He says, no, the Bible says this is how you define doctrine. And when you step out and say, no, we're going to define it this way, this is how we say it should be defined, because that's what they were doing the last 10 times that we've been attacked, right? They always do the same thing. But Isaiah 8:20 is clear. We know how they did it back in the old days. We know how the Bible went from 5 books that Moses wrote to 66 books because of what Isaiah 8:20 said. And they would bring, like someone's been given new light, you know, from God or maybe even from some demon, right? They're thinking it's new light, right? And they'll bring it to the elders of the church. And at the and then the elders study it up. And if it turns out it is new light, then, yeah, it's added to the Bible. That's how it went from 5 to 66 books. That's how it grew. But if it's wrong, then you put it down. And you never mention it again. But that was always the problem with the people that have come in. We fell in love. All of a sudden, the toehold that Satan had was yanked. They started doing what Satan now needed them to do, cause the problems, and then they leave. And this is, it's just the same routine over and over and over again. Yeah, obedience to tradition. That's another thing, too. Tradition is a big, big foothold on a lot of people. And so, amen to that. So let me see, where do we, I stopped at 30, 32. Because I know we wasted 10 minutes, and so here, let me get a few more minutes in here. I'm going to read 32 to 34, Acts 15, 32 to 34. And the next week I'll probably pick it up at 35 and go all the way to 41 because of what goes on for those last few verses. No, man, I could probably, oh no, when I get to 39. Yeah, I got a lot of good stuff in there from everyone from A.T. Jones to, I think that's it, from A.T. Jones. I like that guy. So anyway, can you tell? So where did I leave off here? 32. Yeah, I'm going to read 32 to 34. Thanks. Oh, good. Anthony put it in the room already. That guy, this guy, all these guys. All right, so verse 32 says, and Judas and Silas, being prophets, also themselves exhorted the brethren with many words and confirmed them. And after they had tarried there a space, they were let go in peace from the brethren unto the apostles. Notwithstanding, it pleased Silas to abide there still, because he wanted to hang around, obviously. So, they confirmed him, being prophets also themselves. Did you notice that? Oh, and by the way, I think I still have it on screen, do I? I mentioned this last week. And, I don't. Bummer. Is it in the bookmarks? I think I put it in the bookmarks. Is it bookmark one? Nope. James White said there will be prophets all the way up until the second coming. It was James White that said that. I got to dig it up and find it again. I'll find it, like when Brother Alvin's preaching, and then we'll do some fellowship afterwards, like we always do. All right, so, but here, when it gets to this, verse 32 to 4, it's, you know, in regards to what I just read, one can see their gift of prophecy was needed to both teach doctrine as well as prophecy to the new converts. In this case, however, it appears that it was doctrine as the main topic of the lessons, because we all know that there's two main keys or fruits of a prophet. They're going to be able to understand and explain doctrine, and they're going to be able to understand and explain prophecy, and even speak prophetic, you know, prophetic utterance. And so, but here, let me put something in there, and y'all are going to have to help me in regards to what MEDM stands for, because there's just way too many abbreviations for all these SOP books. So it's from October 9th, 1907, A.T. Jones, page 324, paragraph 6, and it's the initials for the book is MEDM, D like dog. All right, so Judas and Silas were the chosen men selected by the apostles and the elders with the whole church at Jerusalem to carry to Antioch the letter that was sent from them to Antioch. When the letter had been read to the brethren at Antioch, they rejoiced for the consolation, and Judas and Silas, being prophets themselves, exhorted the brethren with many words and confirmed them. I don't even know why I just read that to everybody, but because it's more or less what the verse said. So, but the above, the thing that I just shared in the text chat there, oh, medical ministry, thank you. All right, so the above excerpt was a study done by A.T. Jones that is titled Prophets and Prophesying in the New Testament from the Medical Missionary, page 16, paragraph 41, or no, I don't know, then pages 323 to 325 for some reason, I don't know. But yeah, so while Pastor Alvin is sharing what the Lord has laid upon his heart, I'll be looking up that one statement from James White that literally declared that there will be prophets in the last days. And so it's not to say any of us would be or may be or could be. It's just nice to know that. But at the same time, you got to be extremely careful, because there's going to be a lot of false prophets. Jesus said that in Matthew 24:11, many false prophets. And like I said earlier, the two ways to define a prophet is by understanding prophecy and understanding doctrine. And like they did, like when the Bible went from five books to 66 books, and they're still trying to add books to it now, like Jasher or Enoch or some other books, they're trying to still, or the Apocrypha. But if you've done a study on the sanctuary, you know the Bible's staying right there at 66 books because of that candlestick that represents the Bible in the holy place. Right when you walk in, look to your left, there it is. And so we've already done that study. And so we kind of went off track there a little bit, but anyway, my point in all this has to be that we got to be extremely careful in regards to when these many false prophets come all over the place, because you can see there's millions of them now out there, and but people don't even know they're false prophets. They're called pastors in all the Seventh-day Adventist churches and all the Sunday keeping churches. You know, because the SDAs as well as the Sunday Keepers declare the Bible changed the Sabbath to the first day of the week. And yes, the SDAs do claim that now. That's why that's how close we are. They're actually saying that Sunday is their favored day of rest. And it doesn't end there. The General Conference said it's no big deal to worship on Sunday in the Seventh-day Adventist Church in it. And so like they did at the Indianapolis 500, or no, they were there for 2 weeks. You know, with all that evil stuff. I made a video about it. They were doing that stuff, and you know, the scantily clad women all over the place, and the liquor and the gambling and all this stuff. They were there for two Sabbaths and didn't hold a church service on either Sabbath. But on the last Sunday of the event, that's when they held a church service, on a Sunday. And so, yeah, it's obvious what's going on here. And so because they're going to come forth, many of them out there, and so we got to vet them. If they speak, Isaiah 8:20, if they speak not according to this word, it's because there's no light in them. Remember that, and the fruits. If they declare Sunday's a Sabbath, then you know. They don't have, they're liars. The truth is not in them, because if the Holy Spirit was in them, so would the law be. Because the Holy Spirit etches it on our hearts, the tables of our hearts, and then we keep the seventh-day Sabbath. That proves who we are. That's our fruit unto others that are looking to inspect our fruit. And so I hope and pray that you were blessed by what was shared this Sabbath day. The next voice you shall hear will be that of Pastor Alvin. God bless.